delivering clear, concise, and entertaining content on demand, this is SharperTalkMedia.com. Join the community. Welcome to Higher Up, the podcast designed to help you take your business to a higher level.
Get the latest news and updates on everything human resources.
Unlock the occupational DNA so you can identify, select, develop, and retain top talent.
And now your host, John Beck.
Welcome, my friends. This is John Beck, your host of Higher Up, and we are excited about our guest today. He's an international sought-after speaker, author, and organizational consultant. His insights encourage leaders and frontline workers to grow and invest passionately into all aspects of their lives. He is the author of numerous national bestsellers, including The Starbucks Experience, The New Gold Standard, and the New York Times number one bestseller, Prescription for Excellence. He was named as one of the top 10 thought leaders in customer service by Global Gurus. His new book, The Airbnb Way, 5 Leadership Lessons for Igniting Growth Through Loyalty, Community, and Belonging. Our guest today, Dr. Joseph Michele. Welcome to the show.
Hey, John, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Hey, we're excited to have you here on Higher Up. And, you know, I had an opportunity to look over all of these books you've written. And I tell you what, you have an awesome layout there, and including a New York Times bestseller, A Prescription for Excellence. Man, that's got to be awesome to have that under your belt. I wanted to know, so I have you, we went over your bio. Tell us a little something. Tell our audience a little something about yourself that, you know, they don't know. What's going on? What's a good little tad bit of information that's not in the bio? Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, after being a clinical psychologist in a hospital system, I worked in an HR department for a goodly amount of time as an organizational development specialist. So I've been involved in that space. And it's interesting because most of my career now is in customer experience, but all of that, you know, has to be mapped out across the employee experience as well. So my heart is in HR. That's what I would say.
Well, I tell you, we're on the right show for it today. Our audience is well represented in the HR group. And so let's just dive right in. So, you know, of all the books you've written about leadership, customer experience, you know, established brands like Starbucks and, of course, Mercedes-Benz, why write a book about a disrupt company that started in 2007? I mean, why go back to that?
That's a great question. You know, in 2007, I was working with the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company, and I was writing a book about them. And they were the shining star in the hospitality space in terms of elevated customer experience or guest experience, as they would say. And so I'm writing about decisions they're having to make to contemporize the experience, because for the longest time, you couldn't drink a beer at a Ritz-Carlton unless you did it in a glass. You couldn't drink it out of a bottle. So literally, that's the kind of issue that was going on in hospitality in 2008. So while I'm writing that book, two guys in San Francisco are trying to make rent on their apartment. They have 3 air mattresses they've thrown on the floor. They're charging $80 a night to sleep on those air mattresses and giving uncooked Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
Wow.
And 11 years later, 11 short years later, that company, Airbnb, is valued at $38 billion. The company, the parent company to the Ritz-Carlton Hotel Company, is valued somewhere around $41 billion. And the Marriott Corporation has a whole bunch more real estate than does Airbnb.
Yeah.
So bottom line, something's changed in the world. And how do all of us figure out, what do we do if it's not the sharing economy that you're involved in? How do we at least support people who might not be our employees, who we still need to onboard and align and help us deliver the experience our brand is dedicated to experiencing?
Well, and that's what makes us so interesting. I mean, these individuals are not employed by the organization yet. They're buying into the Airbnb concept. So when we talk about Airbnb becoming so successful, you know, with a product that relies on, you know, people opening up their homes to strangers. I mean, how is this working?
Well, and I would start with the employee at Airbnb, and there aren't a lot of them. There's some 3,500 plus around the globe. Those individuals have to represent the brand and network out to support a community of people to see the vision. So it's the same idea as in every other more traditional business. Your internal your internal customers, your employees need to have an experience that embodies the very message you want them to support out into the distribution channels. So for me, Airbnb has done a great job of sharing the notion that this brand has a clear mission, a true north, values that mean something. And then they make sure that those manifest in the physical environment, in the entire journey of the employee. And then once they do that, then they say, okay, we've done this for you. Help those people out there who are independent business owners in the sharing economy get that that's what our brand needs to deliver for everyone they serve.
Man, you know, with the growth you're talking about and the strategies in which they're doing and the way their business concepts are, you know, it's privately held, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, what about an IPO? I mean, let's talk about it. Is this likely? And, you know, is it going to attract the market? I mean, is this something, you know, we've had so many of these balloon pops. Is Airbnb something that's going to attract investors?
Well, that's a great question, John. And quite frankly, the answer is yes, it's coming. A public offering is coming. It will come next year. It was announced just in a blip. It was a one sentence announcement from the CEO of Airbnb. And it simply says we plan to go public in 2020. But they have now been behaving differently about that public offering than most. So most will go through an IPO offering. They're looking to go direct to public, a different kind of approach. So be on the lookout. It's different. I think one of the things that you'll notice about Airbnb is, unlike, say, Uber or Lyft and those offerings, those companies were not making money. They were funneling all of their proceeds back into the infrastructure of the business, and they were not profitable by any stretch of the imagination. The only exception among those rapidly growing brands has been Airbnb. So we'll see how they do in whatever version of the public offering of 2020.
Well, I tell you, that's going to be on my radar. I just made a big old note, and I'm going to have that sticky note on my right where I do all my investing, make sure I'm on that train.
Absolutely.
You know, when we talk about, obviously, you know, with the book, you've spent a lot of time understanding their organization. There's got to, you know, share with us some lessons that our audience could really take, and, you know, or just the average person listening in, what can we learn from what Airbnb, you know, what are the lessons learned there?
Yeah, I'll do a little compare and contrast. You know, one of my early books was about Starbucks, and I did a second book about Starbucks, and what an incredible employee culture. You know, this was a company that was giving part-time employees health benefits long before that was ever fashionable or in vogue. And I think I learned back in there that we're always in the people business. Mm-hmm. We have to create greatness for people through people. And so, you know, dating back to Starbucks, where they actually control most of the product delivery because the people who serve people called, you know, customers are employees of Starbucks throughout the continental United States. But when you go to something like Airbnb, now you're trying to influence your people, your employees, who sometimes, I mean, I love the notion that, you know, I think when you talk about all things human experience on this podcast, human relations, you know, I think everything is that. So if you look at the journey for an Airbnb, an employee of Airbnb on any given day is also a host to someone that night. Gotcha. And then the next week they're traveling somewhere and they're the guest of an Airbnb host in another city. So I think the labels start to fall away a bit. And what you have to do is suggest that we treat people in a way that creates a true north outcome, which for them is all about creating belonging. So if we can create belonging for new hires throughout the onboarding process, even as they consider employment with us, if we can create belonging on the website for anybody who considers hosting on the platform or who is seeking a location to be a guest in, then you're really getting somewhere. So this brand is really designed around a mission to create belonging and create a world where anyone can belong anywhere.
You know, I'm still amazed at the fact that they can, you know, with all of the independents, and I guess we would call they're independent homeowners or, you know, but yet they're pushing the brand. How does leadership have their brand labeled across all these different providers?
Well, so if you think about it, providers don't have to market much, right? I mean, Airbnb does the marketing. It says, come to Airbnb, come to our platform. You're going to find a vast world of magical end-to-end travel experiences. Come to us and we will help you find that because we've got the marketplace for it. We've got a streamlined web operation so that you can do easy search and a couple of clicks and you're wherever you want to be. And so come to us. And so then they say to the host, be what we, you know, deliver an experience that is so you and so unique and so John-like, right?
Right.
But also make sure that at the end of the day, people felt like they belonged, that there was a true welcoming of them here, create an ability for them to travel local, to feel something more local than they might feel at the front desk of a hotel. Mm-hmm. And if you do all those things, you will be rated well. And if you're rated well, it'll be easier for people to find you in search because our algorithms will make sure that your goodness is rewarded with easier accessibility for future guests.
Man, you're so right about that. I tell you, customer reviews, customer rating. How many times do I go to make a purchase on, let's say, Amazon and I have a sort, right? I'm sorting by customer experience almost 90% of the time.
Yeah.
And same thing with when I'm looking at hotels or, you know, in this case, Airbnb, I'm sorting by experience because I want the best experience.
Or in your world of HR, Glassdoor, or any number of other employee experience public-facing sites.
Exactly. Now, when you talk about, you know, you've talked about all the different organizations you worked with. And so when you look at a comparison between, you know, organizations like Zeppo or Carlton Hotels, Ritz-Carlton, you know, what do you see in terms of just to kind of break each one down in a comparison of, so let's say like a Ritz-Carlton.
Yeah, I think Ritz-Carlton, again, think of Ritz-Carlton, it's a management company. You know, somebody else owns the building there as well. They are managing the hiring. They're managing the enculturation of the workforce for a Ritz-Carlton hotel. They are selecting extremely well for people who have basic service talent. They're developing that talent to the extremes. They have great training programs with lots of cultural training. Every day those people are in a daily lineup being reminded of the three steps of service, the gold standards of our value system. They are telling stories of greatness in service every week, a couple of times a week during daily lineup. So this is a very strong culture of service. They also empower their employees by getting them involved to see line of sight how what they do connects to the bigger vision of the Ritz-Carlton and ultimately to the success of the business. Now, that is not all that different in the world of Airbnb. The difference is they just don't control the workforce. They have to do it by influencing. And I think in general, if you look at, you know, younger demographics coming into the workforce, more of them need to be influenced into alignment, not required into alignment. And I think that the changing, I mean, this is true as to why Airbnb exists at all. In my generation, I wanted to buy things like cars, houses, and clothes. You know, in a new generation, they want to share things. You know, hey, somebody else got a prom dress. Why do I need to buy a new prom dress? I'll rent that prom dress.
Right.
And Airbnb is a phenomena that supports a changing demographic of traveler. And I think it also speaks to kind of a changing mindset among the young about purpose-driven organizations. And it's also a lot about how well do you encourage me and inspire me to join your mission instead of require me to do so.
You know, you just sparked, I made a note here, influence alignment versus, you know, in what I used to call force alignment. And that I think is like really an important nugget for our listeners. And I want to just kind of touch on that for a moment. You know, we talk about employee orientation. You know, when you talk about, use the word orientation, it just feels almost like a brainwashing process. And instead of taking, you know, taking that approach, which you're, you know, you're so elegantly speaking of, is influencing through and, you know, having these individuals move into the direction of the organization by presenting it in a way in which they can start to relate and buy in. And I tell you, that is an important point there. When we talk about Zappos, where do you see the correlation there or if there is any?
Well, you know, Zappos, one of the things, I love Tony Hsieh, and I think he's just a genius at saying culture is everything. Culture is everything. And I will require you from the day you show up to even be considered to send me something that gives me a sense of who you are, beyond what your resume says. Kind of the way you started this interview, you know, tell me a little about you that's not on paper, right?
Right.
Let me get a sense of who you are. So they do a lot of work on video cover letters at hiring so they can see whether another person looks like the values. I mean, one of their values is to be a little weird. Mm-hmm. So they're evaluating employees to make sure they're weird enough to be at Zappos. Because if you're too straight-laced, the culture's going to, you're just not going to fit.
Yeah.
And then from there, it's going to be a lot of time talking about the values of Zappos, and then you're going to give an offer of $2,000 or whatever the market requires to have you evaluate if you're a fit after you've been through a long orientation, or I don't like the word now, after you've kind of highlighted it, after you've had a long opportunity to understand the value structure. And so if you say, look, this isn't right for me, I'm not all into all this rah-rah Kool-Aid drinking, I'm out of here, they'll give you $2,000 and you can leave and go look for a job and have some money to get you to the next opportunity. There's some brilliance in the way they go about it. And I think if I look at it, the Airbnb folks were inspired by Tony Hsieh. He's actually identified in the book as someone that the founders of Airbnb looked to when they were building their own culture.
Mm-hmm. And Starbucks, I mean, where is the fit there?
People will haggle about Howard Schultz, and you know, he took the basketball team out of Seattle, and people are still hurt about that. And then, you know, he was into the political candidacy, and so there's people have some strong emotions about him on those fronts.
Sure.
I'm not speaking to that, those issues. I'm speaking to a guy who I sat next to, who I would take a hill for. This is a man who I fundamentally believed was visionary on the importance of the human experience. Mm-hmm. And I think once you look at someone like that who says, I'm not going to give up halftime benefits to these employees, even though there's some financial crunch on me because my dad didn't have health benefits when he was, you know, working on a diaper delivery truck and broke his leg, and I'm never going to let another family have that happen to them. I think that compassion for the people that you serve, whether that's your internal employees or who they serve, that compassion is essential to success in business today. And I'm just honored to have written a couple of books about his company.
And I tell you, you have a string of some successes going here. So the newest book, The Airbnb Way, 5 Leadership Lessons for Igniting Growth Through Loyalty, Community, and Belonging. Where can we find it?
Well, it's pretty easy to find. Just go to Airbnb Way, no the, just airbnbway.com, and you'll find not only the opportunity to buy the book, but no obligation to buy a book. There's a chance to win a trip to San Francisco and head out and see the headquarters of Airbnb and stay in a really nice Airbnb in the area. So we're funding that trip, and no obligation. All the rules and details are there at airbnbway.com.
Well, there's an extra incentive to get out there at airbnb.com. Now, as we always do, we'll have an entire, of course, you'll be able to download the show on any platform out there, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, you name it, iHeartRadio, you can find us everywhere. The interesting part is we'll have a complete page on our site devoted to Joseph and his book. So you'll be able to go there, find out all the information you need, links to reach him, his website, the book itself. So absolutely be sure to check us out at hrhigherup.com. He'll be in a right in the front when you get on the homepage of the site. So we'll have all the information there. Now, Joseph, as we start to wrap up, what's some final words, some final thoughts that as a business owner, as a HR executive or a leader within an organization, what's your final thoughts?
You know, I would say that one of the things that I've really learned a lot probably through Airbnb is that your fundamental view of humankind affects the way you behave toward them. So if you have great distrust for people, you create HR policies that treat people as though they are not worthy of trust. Mm-hmm. If you have a general view of people that they are good and that you have to manage the exceptions, that changes the entire way you approach it. The same is true at the customer experience. It's very true when you're renting out spaces in your home. And I think there's a real lesson here. And in the book, we spend some time helping people understand and have conversations with their team members about their basic view of people.
Yeah. Wow. There you go, folks. So as you know, we always try to find those great nuggets. And I tell you what, this segment is full, chock block full of some great information for you to take back. I do encourage you to reach out, find that book. It's going to be a great read for you. I had the opportunity to go through it. And I tell you what, It's a very good read. So there you have it. Joseph, we want to thank you so much for taking your time and sharing your gift and information to our audience. And so thank you so much for that.
John, you're the gift. I really enjoy your podcast. I've been listening to it. So thank you so much.
Hey, I appreciate that endorsement. All right, folks. So again, this is
Thanks
John
for
Beck
listening to Higher Up with John Beck.
For show notes, updates, and more on how to break the code to unlocking occupational DNA,
join the community at HRHigherUp.com
and take your business to a higher level. This has been an exclusive production of SharperTalkMedia.com. Join the community.